Hello, listeners. Welcome to season 7 of the Big Unlock podcast. My name is Ritu M. Oberoi, and I'm a managing partner here at Big Rio and Demo. And I'm your host today for the Big Unlock podcast. Really excited to have today with us Dr. Neela Jessel, Chief Medical Officer at Athena Health. Dr. Jessel has been a practicing pediatrician for over 2 decades and is a board-certified clinical informaticist. She brings a rare perspective that bridges frontline medicine with digital transformation, and she's been a leading voice on how AI and health IT can reduce clinician burden while improving patient outcomes. So looking forward to our conversation today, and it's all yours, Dr. Jessel, for your introduction. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
So did I leave out anything in the introduction? Would you like to add anything before we get to the questions?
No, I think you covered that pretty well. Thanks so much.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. So we've read about your Athena Health report, and I was also looking at your blogs. One key observation that I made was that you observed this rapid shift from skepticism to enthusiasm among physicians using AI. And you've said that so much has changed in just the last 12 to 18 months that's, you know, made clinicians finally believe that this technology can actually help them. So we would love to hear your perspective on that and how you've seen this shift, and what do you think were the contributing factors, and where do you think it'll go in the next year or so?
Yes, I'm actually so amazed every day how quickly the sentiment has shifted here, because, you know, medicine isn't typically known to be very fast moving or very change friendly. So to have seen the rapid evolution of the AI transformation and this shift in physician sentiment has been really amazing to watch. So, you know, as you had mentioned, 12 to 18 months ago, when we did our physician sentiment survey, at that time, we asked for the first time about AI. The sentiment was like, okay, maybe could potentially be helpful, but we're actually super worried that it's going to be yet another thing on our plate. And that's not surprising when you think about how EHR technology has developed over the last, you know, 2 decades, and how it's always been viewed as a burden by physicians, right? For the longest time, EHRs have been cited as the number one contributor to physician burnout, and physicians universally have more or less, I don't want to say hated, but I'm going to say hated EHRs as adding to their administrative burden, turning them from actual physicians into data entry clerks, by really interrupting the physician-patient relationship. So needless to say, EHRs have been no one's friend. So I believe that was one of the reasons why when AI, or, you know, when I say AI, I mean predominantly generative AI, large language models arrived at the scene, physicians were very skeptical that it was really going to be helpful because of their previous technology experiences. So needless to say, the first couple implementations or attempts to implement AI in healthcare technology weren't so successful, right? Like, I think vendors repeated some of the mistakes of the past and immediately jumped to their solutions to the problem without actually asking clinicians what they believed the right use cases were. And I think we have, and this has been one of the main pivots that I have seen in the industry, we have pivoted pretty quickly to let's have clinicians guide the development rather than the vendors, right? Rather than retrofitting the technology to perceived use cases, let physicians tell us where the need is. So I think after the initial lessons learned, you know, everybody jumped to answering, having AI answer patient messages, which wasn't quite the success we thought it would be. And I think we emphasized the message that, oh, okay, maybe this is more of an additional burden than helpful tool. We actually all found a use case that was extremely well received, and that was leveraging large language models to generate physician note documentation. Physician note documentation has been one of those enormous burdens, right? When EHRs became a thing, notes became much more complex than the old paper notes that many of us used to write. That's simply because the appetite for data increased dramatically when EHRs arrived at the scene. So physicians were asked to capture more and more data, more and more accurate data, and notes turned from these one-liner things with the diagnosis and the order into these giant complex things that had to be 100% accurate for legal reasons and what have you. And it became a major burden. So introducing ambient note generation, where the AI records the conversation between the physician and the patient and then summarizes and transcribes the note, was a pretty immediate win, even though initially we didn't see this actually translate into time savings. That was the interesting thing, right? Like physicians, actually our initial data showed that physicians sometimes spent more time on the note because they had to make extensive edits. But the perception of time saving was pretty immediate because physicians were able to concentrate on the patient again during the visit rather than on the computer and taking notes. And that, I would say, relief from cognitive burden, because having to write a note while you're actively engaged in a conversation adds enormous cognitive burden. We all know this, right? When we run a meeting, or yes, when you and I are having this conversation, the last thing I want to do is also be the note taker. It's extremely difficult, yet we ask that of physicians every single day, and not just once a day, but 30 times a day, right? Depending on many patients they see. Mm-hmm. So it's enormous cognitive burden, and introducing ambient note generation immediately removed that cognitive burden and gave physicians that impression of actually having time back or quality of life back, even though initially they spent such just as much time minute-wise generating the note as they did before, sometimes even more. Now, that has since changed pretty dramatically, but that was the initial thing. But I think because of that immediate sense of relief, physicians became much more inclined to view AI as a benefit, and word of mouth spread pretty quickly, and ambient notes became so rapidly adopted that the physician sentiment shifted from, oh my gosh, not in my EHR, to give me more. What else can you do for me that reduces my administrative burden and cognitive load? So that's, I believe, where that rapid change in sentiment originated.
Yeah, amazing answer. Lots to unpack there. And, you know, a couple of follow-up questions I would love to ask you. I think I have two right away. So one is that, you know, you mentioned data and you said that there's so much data now, but you're saying clinicians, you know, still struggle with these fragmented workflows. So what's missing between having data and actually making it usable to the point of care? Like, where do you still see those gaps or, you know, some issues that, you know, technology still hasn't solved, even though there's so much data coming in and so much data being generated by the AI, like you said?
I believe that that is still one of the struggles across the industry, and that has to do with interoperability, right? And that came out in our last physician sentiment survey loud and clear as well, that interoperability is still perceived as a major challenge by clinicians everywhere. Not so much because of the lack of interoperability. I think we have made pretty good headways over the last, you know, decade or so, actually making the systems talk better to each other, connecting them, exchanging data. However, that has led to a new problem, access to too much data, right? Because while we have gotten pretty good at exchanging data, we still are not great at actually exchanging the data in a way that curates it for the clinician on the other end and helps them make sense of that data. We basically overload clinicians with data, right? We bring in so much data from other systems and just dump it in the EHR and then put it upon them to, you know, as our chief product officer always say, hunt and peck through the EHR to find the things that they need. So he calls it spelunking in the EHR, which I think is pretty funny because that's what many clinicians complain about, right? That's great. You've given me access, but help me find it. Like, what is too much, right? I have 10, 15 minutes with the patient and there's hundreds of documents and data pieces coming in. And I'm really worried that I'll miss something because I may not look at the right thing. So, you know, that concern about liability, I hear that from physicians all the time. So what can we do to help with this? How can we help clinicians make sense of all that data that we're now bringing to them? And mind you, they don't object to us bringing the data to them. That, you know, by and large, physicians feel that that's highly important to good patient care, to have access to all the data from care sites elsewhere outside of their own network. But they really want us to help them make sense of that data. And that is one of the use cases where we have found generative AI in the form of large language model can add tremendous benefits to the chart. Because as we all know, large language models are extremely efficient at quickly digesting large amounts of data and actually synthesizing it into a more concise version, right? All of us who've used large language model for research, right, know they can sift through thousands of pages and quickly digest the relevant take-home points. And that's how we've started using large language model, right, in the form of quick summaries, like show me what has happened since I last saw the patient. Give me like the Reader's Digest version, right? Which specialists have they seen? What medications were changed? What laboratory results have returned? Is there any external data that I need to look at? So that, I think, is the next frontier. We're not quite there yet, right? Because obviously, when you talk about summarizing clinical data, it is really important that the models return both relevant and accurate data. And we all know large language models aren't deterministic, right? They're probabilistic. So just like a person, they kind of pick and choose what's important. Mm-hmm. Now, perfect is the enemy of the good, right? Are clinicians 100% accurate? And do they always look at the most relevant? No, right? They can't, because there's simply too much. So I think, you know, what we're finding is that the models are equally good, sometimes better than clinicians. So, you know, we're pretty optimistic that that is going to be the thing that will finally turn the EHR from a giant data repository into an actual helpful tool that will help clinicians improve patient outcomes and really become an assistant rather than a burden.
Yeah, this goes back to, you know, the cognitive load that you were talking about that physicians carry beyond documentation. So this is, you brought up a very interesting point, you know, between accuracy and relevancy and how do you like kind of trust what the LLM is bringing back to you. And till last year, we were really hearing, you know, human in the loop, AI is here to augment, it's not here to automate. But now in the last 6 months, we've really seen that shift away from human in the loop to AI becoming more and more independent. And I think just yesterday, one of the leading health systems CEO announced that he sees that, you know, AI is going to take over the clinician work as well and do diagnostic work as well. So what are your thoughts on that? Like, how do you draw the line between AI being a helper or a tool to kind of taking over and really going beyond summarization and all the other things which you mentioned, which it's very good at?
Yeah, for me personally, I am not quite there yet that AI will replace clinicians. And I see lots of examples in my daily life where the AI gets it completely wrong. Now, mind you, clinicians get it wrong too, right? But part of what makes medicine, I believe, a little bit different from other industries is that medicine is both a science and an art. Lots of what happens in an exam room is actually not on the surface, but it's in the interaction between the patient and the physician, the body language, right? The facial expressions, the things that aren't said, and a lot of, right? Like, how do the family members react in the room? Like, how do you interpret the data? And granted, right? I think AI is really great at picking up on things that can get lost in the shuffle, right? We're all busy and things tend to become routine. And sometimes, you know, in the heat of the moment, and I think that's how mistakes get made when people are just trying to get through the day because all the exam rooms are loaded, right? And people are already standing in the door waiting for you. The tendency can be to just take things at face value, right? To get done with the visit rather than digging a layer deeper. And I think that's where AI can be really helpful in sounding the alarm and being like, hey, but did you see that this laboratory value came back and it actually doesn't really go with the diagnosis that you selected, right? More as an alert to like double check yourself rather than guiding the care. Because I also see an AI make pretty dramatic mistakes saying, oh no, this x-ray looks great, when there was clearly a fracture, for example, right? So it goes both ways. So I think the human and the AI should ideally tag team and double check each other, right? I think medicine is one of those areas where you would rather have too many checks and balances than too few, right? The era of inclusion is better than the era of exclusion. Now, that heavily depends on the use case. Are there many use cases in medicine where I believe the AI can absolutely take the lead and probably will do it better than a human? 100%. Take all these administrative use cases. Prior authorization, right? The bane of healthcare. Like prior authorization has very quickly risen to the top of most hated things on clinicians' list. I think it surpassed the EHR like last year as the number one reason of provider burnout. So can agentic agents do prior authorization? 100%, right? And then they just kick back use cases that they are on the fence about or that get denied by to the clinician and the clinical staff for review. Insurance verification, like all these things, right? Do you really need to leverage humans or can you use humans for those high value interactions that require face-to-face interactions, right? Or are better suited to face-to-face interactions? So I'll give you an example, the front desk person. Does the front desk person have to check in the patient and take down the insurance information? Absolutely not. AI can do this, right? Oftentimes better. The patient can upload the insurance card on their phone. The AI can select the insurance package, right? And the front desk person can actually now spend 2 minutes chatting with the patient, right? Asking them about their personal life, forming those bonds that actually make it enjoyable for the patient to come to the practice, right? And get their care in person versus virtual or through a Google chatbot or what have you, WebMD, whatever it may be. So that's kind of how I view it. But would I want to remove the clinician from the loop right away? No, I would not want to do that. And I think that would be the last thing on my personal list. And, you know, the way we develop our AI functionality currently, especially on the clinical side, is to keep that human in the loop at minimum until the trust is high enough that we all feel comfortable, you know, clinician and technology vendor, both, that it's okay to remove the human from the loop. That would not be the first thing I would want to jump to on the clinical side.
I think that's still a little bit out there. And like you very rightly mentioned, you know, a lot of these use cases now in this AI front door or, you know, digital front door with the patient check-in, with, you know, voice agents doing prescription management or, you know, appointment scheduling. We've been talking to a lot of, you know, C-suite leaders and that's where they're seeing the big wins come in and easy implementations. So from Athena Health's point of view, Dr. Jessel, tell us about innovation at Athena Health. How do you, again, balance this AI versus human in the loop kind of thing? Like what I'm trying to ask is, you know, what I asked a previous guest as well, that innovation usually goes faster when there's lots of failure involved because you can try it.
Yes.
But in healthcare, it's, you know, that's such a taboo word because like you said, it has to be right. It has to be right every single time. Those are two very conflicting kind of viewpoints. So how do you balance that out?
Yes, that is a great question. And it's actually something that we have learned, you know, over the last year and a half since we started to really kick off our clinician-facing AI efforts. We've always used AI on the back end, you know, in the form of machine learning and what have you to reduce administrative tasks. So none of that is new. What was really new was the clinical facing use cases, right? Leveraging AI and especially large language models, which aren't deterministic in clinical medicine. That has been the new frontier, so to speak, in the last, you know, year and a half. And we have learned very quickly that it actually required a different approach to development from our previous approach. So now what we do with AI, especially in the clinical realm, but also in the revenue cycle realm, patient experience realm, we actually develop prototypes really rapidly and test them out with real life user in a small scale production environment very, very quickly to get, you know, real time user feedback right away. And, you know, we have formed special user groups for this with, you know, highly motivated early adopter users who understand that they have to be careful. This can be risky, that we depend on their feedback. And believe it or not, there is many motivated users who are gung-ho about trying out AI in real life and giving us feedback. So we have coined the term pre-alpha because this is an or experiment, we call it pre-alpha experiment, because we actually have moved to rather than first our standard development process, you know, where we do a lot of user experience, design, testing, user research, then UX sessions, and then we do alpha testing with a select group of users, then we move it to beta, and then to, you know, generally available, generally deployed. We now do pre-alpha with these small groups of highly motivated end users who test it live and give us immediate feedback and give us the thumbs up, thumbs down, right? Not even, oh, does this you need more development, but first, like, is this even useful or are we completely missing the mark? So we have learned to fail really fast, and we went from, you know, we now have hundreds of those experiments in production with real live users in this early alpha, pre-alpha experiment stage. And not all of these things make it to alpha, but once they do go to alpha, we pretty rapidly evolve from there to beta testing and then general availability. So that's allowed us to really shift also the mindset on our customer side, right? We went from, no, please don't put that in my EHR, to, oh, what else can be developed together that's useful for all of us? So it's been super exciting to see this transformation. And I think all of us are really excited to be living in this time of this, you know, transformation, where we, I think, finally will see healthcare transform in the way we were hoping healthcare would transform, you know, for decades now. So it's an exciting time to be part of healthcare technology.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that with us. This pre-alpha sounds really interesting and, you know, something I think our listeners would love to hear about. So thank you for sharing that.
And I'll also say, I'll have to add one more thing. We have a patient safety team in-house comprised of clinicians that are actually embedded on our development side. So obviously, everything that we do gets vetted by our patient safety clinicians to ensure there's no risk to patient safety. Yeah. So even in this early pre-alpha stage, like, we test all the output, we have patient safety eyes on there just to make sure we don't put anything out in production, even in this early stage with a few select user that could compromise patient safety. I will make that addition, because that, at the end of the day, it's all about patient care, right? Yes, we want to reduce clinician burden. Yes, we want to reduce administrative burden for our offices and practices and ensure they get paid appropriately. And that's all 100% what we want to do. But first and foremost, we want to ensure that patients receive optimal care and have great outcomes.
Great. Time's flown by, Dr. Jessel. We are almost at the end. So would love to hear a little, some personal anecdote or, you know, stories about how you actually came into healthcare and how you came into this role specifically with, you know, bridging technology and healthcare. And then any closing thoughts if you would like to share for our listeners. Thank you so much.
Yes. So as I mentioned in the beginning, I'm a pediatrician by training. I have my own practice. And I founded my practice because at that time, you know, many years ago, I was part of a large group practice that made the transition from paper to EHR. And I was actually one of the super users that helped implement the EHR system. And that was back when EHRs, you know, had first become a thing and were everything but user-friendly. And I tried very, very hard to change the EHR implementation for my practice at that time and offered everything under the sun, my input, help. And that was back when, you know, clinic informatics wasn't the thing yet. Yes. Physicians were ignored, right? It was the technology implementation. So I thought to myself, there has got to be a better way of doing this. Like, this technology has amazing potential. How can I leverage technology to actually help me be a better physician and spend more time with my patients? So since I wasn't able to do that in my group practice, I went out on my own and founded my own practice with the goal of really leveraging technology to help me become a better physician and spend more time with my patients. And back then, I went to a technology conference. I evaluated lots of different EHR vendors, and I saw like a mock-up of this office of the future, you know, where the technology was fully integrated and everything was automated. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. That's what I want to build. And I set about building this for my own practice. And then, you know, gradually became really interested in clinical informatics as it started becoming a discipline and a field. Went back to school, became a board certified clinical informatics, joined a large medical group where I then gradually became the lead of the clinical informatics teams, optimized the EHR system, and then did this for a second large enterprise medical group. And then ultimately ended up at my position at Athena, where I have a similar job where I work directly with our product development team to translate clinician desires into yes. technology, right? Because I speak both languages, like the practicing physician language and the clinical informatics language. And I really love this job because it's helped me do it at a much larger scale, what I tried to do in my practice, really optimize technology to the point where it does what I always have felt it should do, enable clinicians to spend more time with their patients rather than less, and provide better care rather than detract from care. So that in a nutshell is a little bit of my story, how I ended up where I am, and love it. And I'm so grateful that I have this opportunity to make a difference at a larger scale.
Thank you, Dr. Jessel, for sharing that with us. That's, you know, a really nice story. And I think we're really reaching that point now where AI will enable technology to be kind of invisible and, you know, be in the background and really let clinicians do what they want to do best, which is spend time with the patients. So looking forward to that future.
Thank you so much for having me. Yes, it's an exciting time. I can't wait to see where we will be in a year or two from now. I believe the EHRs will function very differently from today.
Thank you, Dr. Jessel. Thank you.
Thank you.